let me give you a list of names from the Bible that you should all be really familiar with. Here's the list: Shamua, Shaphat, Egil, Palti, Gadil, Gadi, Amil, Sethor, Nabib, Geo. Pretty familiar with all those? Okay, you got them. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but let's just be brutally honest. How many of you are going, who the heck are those guys? Okay, most of us. So I don't want you to worry this morning. Unless you are an Old Testament theologian, a professor that teaches the Old Testament, I wouldn't expect you to remember any of these guys' names. The list that I was just named off, those are 10 of the 12 spies that God sent in to scope out the promised land. And so God was about to do something very significant with his people. Let's just kind of put this in context. He delivered his people from slavery. They were in slavery for 400 years. God does all this miraculous stuff, delivers them. They cross the Red Sea. God feeds them with manna from heaven. He's given them the Ten Commandments, and now he's brought them to the very edge of the promised land, this land that is flowing with milk and honey. And the Bible tells us, I'll give you a little bit of background about these 10 guys, or all 12 of them. Each of these men, they were leaders of their own tribes. So there's 12 tribes. These guys were the leaders of those tribes. They're known as men that had outstanding skills. They had power. They had authority. They stood out among the people around there. Evidently, if you were going to pick 12 guys, you would look and say, this is easy. These are the group of guys that we need to send in there. In fact, I'm going to suggest that these 10 guys should be heroes of the faith. We should have songs about these 10 guys. You know, we sing like, you know, Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. Anybody familiar with that song? We should sing songs about these two guys. We could write one. Well, let me throw something in there. There isn't songs about these guys. And when I say we ought to know their names, the fault isn't ours. The fault is theirs. We really should be singing songs about these guys, of how God told them to go into the promised land, and they led their people in there. And for generations to come, we should be reading their stories. And we should be celebrating, saying, man, these guys were so faithful. These guys were faithful. The generations to come should be thankful for these guys. But they're not heroes. And here's the thing. So let's just pick up the story. So these men were commissioned by Moses. Go in there, check out the land. They spend 40 days in the land. Numbers 13, verse 23 says, and they came to the valley of Eshcol, and cut down from there a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two of them. I'm kind of like impressed right there. I got to pause and look at that. And like, I know every once in a while Aldi has those grapes that look like they're about this big, but I'm like, I've never seen grapes where it takes two grown men to carry them out on poles. So this is impressive stuff. It says, and they also brought some pomegranates and figs. Let's continue the story. Numbers 13, skip down to verse 26. And it says, and they came to Moses, that's the spies, came to Moses and Aaron, and all the congregation, this is the gathered people of Israel, in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, and they brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land, saying, look, here's the fruit of the land. This thing is producing milk and honey. And it said it. And they told him, we came to the land that you had sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. You see the two guys carrying those on the poles? Verse 28. There's a little change here. And this change happens in our life. Here in verse 28, it says, however. Sometimes we say, but. Okay? Hey, God is good. Everything that God has promised us is true. However. But. I've had people say this. Well, Pastor, I know what God's word says, but. You should have just stopped like a sentence earlier. But anyways, it says, however, here's their report. The people that dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides that, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. Man. We don't remember these guys' names for good reason. We forgot. Now there's two others in the group. Joshua and Caleb. Anybody at least familiar with those names? Yeah, why is it that we name our children Joshua and Caleb, but we don't name them Gadol and Palti and Shaphat? You ever hear of anybody with those names?
No.
There's something that's going on. So why do we remember those names? Why are those names familiar? And let me give you a hint here. It has nothing to do with their resumes. These guys had outstanding resumes. It has nothing to do with their personality types. It's not like Joshua and Caleb are type A leaders or anything like that. And it has nothing to do with abilities. These were gifted men that God sent out into the promised land. Verse 30, it says, but Caleb quieted the people. So there's this uproar. These guys are given this report, and Caleb quiets the people before Moses, and he said, let's go up at once and occupy it, for we are able to overcome it. In other words, these guys are giving the report, you know, hey, the walls are tall, these people are huge, they're giants, they're going to... And Caleb's like, hey, guys, can we stop this foolish talk? Can we pause right here? Can we go back to what God said he was going to do? God said, I'm going to give this land to you. Is it going to be hard? Probably. It's probably going to be quite difficult. But who promised that we would have this? It's God. And he's trying to redirect the people, saying, you know, Josh, don't look at yourself. Don't look at me. Don't look at Zeb. Don't look at our abilities. Look at the one who promised this to us. Let's go occupy it. You and I should occupy the place that God has said for us to have. We should walk in that. Verse 31. It says, the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. And you're probably right. And so they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land. I thought the land was good. All of a sudden, they've got a bad report of the land. It says that they spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone out to spy it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants. Well, why are you afraid of them if it devours them? Anyways, it devours inhabitants. And the people that we saw in it are of great height. Well, they're tall. Okay. It says, and then we saw the Nephilim, the son of Anak, who came from the Nephilim. Oh, of course they did. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seem to them. Where's their focus? Their focus is on them. They're saying, what can we do? What are our abilities? And God had already told them. We've got to go back to that. We've got to go back to God said, I'm going to give you this land. This is your possession. You are to go into this land and take it. That really should have ended the discussion right there. But they refused to enter it. And upon here's what the people said upon hearing the report. Numbers 14, starting at verse 3. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? They got to self-focus. And we're going to see God in a different light when we focus in on ourselves. They're saying, God, why have you brought us here? Excuse me, I delivered you guys from slavery. I've brought you into the promised land. And they say, our wives and our little ones will become plundered. Would it not be better to return to Egypt? Would it not be better to go back to slavery? That's what they're saying here. And how many times do we do that? How many times out of fear do we return to what we know rather than what God promises? And many times we walk back into slavery. It may not be physical slavery, but people do that all the time. And so they said to one another, let's appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Wow. Like I said, these guys should have been heroes. We should sing songs about them. At this point, they're gathering stones. They are going to stone Joshua and Caleb to death. The two guys, that's why you don't want to be a preacher. The two guys that said, God said we could do this, let's go do it, they want to stone them to death so they can return to slavery. Now God's going to intervene here, and he speaks to Moses, and he says, hey Moses, verse 12 of Numbers 14, he says, I will smite them with pestilence, and I will dispose them, and I will make you a great nation, mightier than they. In other words, God says, okay, all these people that don't want to enter the promised land, I'll wipe them out right now, Moses, and I'll work through you. And Moses is a better guy than I am. He intercedes on behalf of the people. And verse 19, he says, please pardon the iniquity of this people. According to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. All right, so God is continue. I don't know if you remember the story, but they complained and they murmured the whole way as God was delivering them. And Moses is interceding on behalf of the people, saying, please, God, because you're a loving God, will you spare them? And God responds and says, and then the Lord said, I have pardon according to your word. Now, this is important. God has just forgiven these people. He's not going to wipe them out. They're his people. He has forgiven them. And he says, but truly as I live, and all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, as true as this is, he says, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and did in the wilderness. So none of those people, he says, none of those people that saw the Red Sea party, none of those people that saw me deliver them from Egypt. I mean, those would be things where you're like, I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens next. I saw the waters parted. Whatever God says, I'm going to follow. I mean, that's at least what I'm thinking now. And maybe when I see these 7'2" guys, I might be like these guys here. But God says, none of those people that saw that thing, he said, none of those people will enter the promised land. He says, and yet, those people, they saw all these things. They put me to the test these 10 times. And have not obeyed my voice. He says, none of them, verse 23, shall see the land which I swore to give to their fathers, and none of those who despise me shall see it. Wow. This was meant for them. This was a gift that God said, and God says, you don't want it, you're not going to see it. Now, I asked earlier, why do we know the names Joshua and Caleb? Why do we remember them? What makes them different than the other 10. God's going to tell us himself. Verse 24, he says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit. He has a different spirit. There's something different about Caleb, and he has followed me fully. He says, I will bring him into the land which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. We're told that Caleb has a different spirit than the people around him. You know, as I look at the world around us, I think we need people with a different spirit. You know, we got a world around us that is fighting and bickering and arguing over nonsense. That's, you know, everything's doom and gloom. We need people with a different spirit. And I say we need that within the church. The problem's not just out there, right? The problem's in here. And we need to be people of a different spirit. And there's this sad commentary. Think about that. Most of the people that saw all these miracles that God did never entered into the promised land. Can you imagine that? Living your life knowing that God had something spectacular for you. God had something that for generations they would talk about, and you didn't enter into that. Numbers 14:25 says this. God says, "Now since the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valleys," in other words, these big guys that you're afraid of, since they're there, he says, "turn tomorrow and set up for the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." Those are some stark words right there. In other words, God is saying, okay, if what I've asked of you is too much, then go ahead. Have your way. Turn tomorrow, go back into the wilderness. And I want to point out something very important here. Remember, I already stated, these are forgiven people. Which should get us thinking here. Because unless God is a liar, we're not talking about lost people here. Okay, these are people that God says, they're still my people, and I have forgiven them. All right, forgiveness is forgiven, right? We can agree on that, even though on the news, truth isn't truth. But forgiven is forgiven, right? They're forgiven people. However, they failed to enter the rest that God had for them. They chose to miss out on the blessings that God had for them. I can't overstate. These men should have been heroes. Their children should have grown up in the promised land. Their children should have experienced great blessings. They should have been this generation where we'd say, that would have been so awesome to be there. But they missed out on the biggest opportunity and the calling of their lives. And here's what's happened. Because this happens today. And I want to suggest, it's not that significant things didn't happen in their lives as they wandered for 40 years. Children were still born. You know, maybe somebody got a new tent, and we're going to celebrate their new tent, and we're going to celebrate birthdays and what have you. But here's the thing. For 40 years, could you imagine that? 40 years. You wander. You wander around. There's no real direction in your life. There's no real purpose. For 40 years, you're wandering around. Hey, Josh, how's it going? Okay. What are you going to do tomorrow? Same thing we're doing today. We're going to wander. Wow. Hey, great worship service, by the way. Yep. God is good all the time. God is good. And we wander. And there's nothing wrong with a great worship service. But if it doesn't transform us, if it doesn't move us in a direction, how many of you want to spend your life wandering, just walking back and forth, and not really having any real direction of where you're going? And then could you imagine if you're one of the 10 spies, if you're the crowd of people that followed those 10 spies, can you imagine for those 40 years as you're wandering around, you're continually, aimlessly walking, and you recognize these children. These children should be in the promised land. These children should know what it's like to experience the fullness of God, the goodness of God. And yet, most of them are going to die in the wilderness. And I want to suggest, it's not that these people didn't have faith. They just didn't have faith that God would do what he says he's going to do. It's not that they were unbelievers in God. It's just that God wasn't going to transform lives. God wasn't going to fulfill what he said he could do. And how many of us do that, where we live less than what God has called us to do? We have a faith, but not a faith that transforms anyone's life. Pastor Gary Wilkerson, he states this. He says, there is a clear message for everyone who follows Jesus. It is this. If we don't seek to be of a different spirit, our choice will have adverse effects on our entire community. It wasn't just the 10 spies. It wasn't just the people there. It affected their children. It affected the next generation. It says, our choice to wander in the wilderness of moderate faith doesn't just hurt us, but also those around us. Our children are especially at risk. And even though God doesn't charge them with our sins, they are deeply affected by our sinful choices. Okay? God doesn't charge my children with my sin. But we can't kid ourselves. We don't live in a bubble, right? Our choices have consequences for us. Our choices have consequences for the community around us. And I don't know about you, but if for some reason God would give me 40 more years, as I'm doing the math, I'm not convinced on that. But if God were to give me 40 more years, I don't want to wander. I don't want to live a life where I didn't enter into the promises of God, that I wasn't faithful to what he had,
right,
or what he has for us. I want to experience what God has for us. I want us to be the people where we can look and say, God, this is what you told us to do, and we did it. We did it when it was hard. We did it when it was easy. We got up each day and said, God, what is it you want us to do? Because we want what you want. I want to be a people that could say, because we follow God, we made a difference for the next generation. Now, how do we do that? Let me give you seven qualities that I think made a difference in Caleb and why he had a different spirit. And I'll just tell you up front, I stole this list from somebody. But if I tell you I stole it, that makes me a scholar, not plagiarism. So I stole this from a guy named... I found that out in grad school. They said, just tell us where you stole this from, and you're a scholar. I'm like, okay. Wish I would have known that in third grade, because I could have told you, hey, Billy says the answer to this problem is seven. Seven characteristics. Caleb was a man of vision. Okay, he had vision. He saw the land that it was their possession. It was the possession of God's people. Why did he see it that way? Because God told him it was theirs. Okay, so we don't need to become visionaries where we come up with creative ideas, what have you. We need to go back to God's word and say, God, what do you promise to us? What do you promise to that? And we're going to pursue that. That's what it means to be a person of vision. Caleb wanted to join God where he was already at work. Find out where God is working and join him there. We need vision from God. Secondly, he was a man of faith. And a lot of faith is where do we focus, right? Because whatever we focus at, that we're going to see that as the biggest thing, right? These guys, they looked out, and what did they see? They saw giants. They saw these tall walls. They saw these people that they say, if we enter this land, we're dead. And you know what? Here's the thing. I could go outside right now, and I can take my thumb, and if I hold it close enough, I can block out the sun. Okay? Is my thumb bigger than the sun?
No.
Not at all. It's what we focus on. We need to reorientate what we're focusing on. You want to have a small problem? Look at your big God. Look at your big God. Pretty much all problems are small to God. We need people. We need men. We need women that are people of faith. Third, he was a man of perseverance. Faith needs to persevere. Okay? We need this ongoing faith. When Zeph and I first started talking about the possibility of joining together, I told him, I said, you know, I want to work with somebody that has perseverance. I want to work with somebody, you know, I think in football terms sometimes, like, I want to work with somebody that can take a hit and get back up and run the next play. And sometimes in faith, you know, we say, okay, I trust God, I believe in God, and then something happens. And we say, okay, I need to take it from here. I need to pursue this. No, we need to get back up. You get back up and you run the race that you have before you. And Zeph, I want to thank you. You are a man of perseverance. And Caleb needed that. Think if you're Caleb and you trust in God, you believe in God, and you're sitting at that campfire every night. And people are complaining, oh, we have leeks and onions back in Egypt. And, you know, and I'm tired of manna, and I'm tired of this. And God has sent, you have to have perseverance. I mean, the fact that he didn't strangle everybody in the campfire is amazing in and of itself. You want to be of a different spirit? You need to rise above the noise that's around you. You need to rise above everything that's going around and say, you know what? God is faithful. I've read the end of the book, and I know we win. I know that God is going to be glorified, and it may get tough, and it may get ugly in between, but I'm going to trust in God. And God, as he delivers, we develop perseverance in our lives. We need to be people of a different spirit. Fourth, he was a man of encouragement. I mean, people are saying, hey, let's go back to Egypt. And what does he do? He quiets the crowd. And he says, we can do this. We can do this. And the only reason why we can do it is because God said we can. And so he's this person of encouragement. And you know, we ought to be the most encouraging people in the world. We really ought to. Worst comes to worst, we still have the greatest message out there. We still have the greatest message. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life. We have this message. God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. And God was going to do for them what they could not do for themselves, but they didn't enter into that. We need to be people of encouragement. Encourage people as they walk through dark valleys. Walk alongside them. Be of encouragement. Fifth thing is he was a man of loyalty. He could have just as easily have gone along with the crowd and said, yeah, let's get rid of Moses. Moses is the problem. Moses wasn't the problem. The problem was the lack of faith that God had given this land. And so not only do we need to be loyal to others, we need to be loyal to God. Start with loyalty to God. He was a man of blessing. When he came into the land, he gave away springs of water. The land that God said, I'm going to give to you, he gave away springs of water to other people. You know what that tells me about him? He understood something. He was blessed to be a blessing. It was never about him. Never about Joshua. It was never about Caleb. It was never about Moses. It was always about God. And God always blesses so that we can be a blessing. And we need to be reminded of that. You are blessed to be a blessing. Be a different spirit. When the world seeks to just consume for themselves, be a blessing to others. God has blessed you for that purpose. Worship team, want to come up and join me as we're getting here to close. Last one. He was a man of altitudes. Altitudes up here. He wasn't content with average or commonplace. Average or commonplace didn't enter into the promised land. He didn't think of terms in his own comfort. I think that's probably the biggest issue. If we're faithful to God, we're going to have some hard battles. We're going to have to fight some giants. This is going to be very difficult. And I've been talking with a couple of Liberian pastors who I've been pouring into their lives, and they're talking about the difficulties that they're approaching in their lives. And the one thing I keep going back to is you need to get up each day and say, what am I called to do? And you pursue that. You pursue that. Because if you don't start with what am I called to do, you're going to quit. I guarantee you that. I've done this long enough to know that there's going to be days that you're going to want to quit. But you go back to, what has God called me to do? And if it's hard, I do it. If it's easy, I do it. If it's fun, I do it. If it's difficult, I do it. We need to have a higher vision. Most of us don't need a smaller view of our problems. We need a bigger view of God. When we have that bigger view of God, we can rightly see our problems. Let me close with a couple of these questions. Because one of the things we like to do, we would like to help people with their next step. Are there qualities here where you look at and go, yeah, that's something I need in my life. I need to have that God vision. I need to have that faith where I trust God that in the midst of difficulties, I'm gonna trust Him. And I'm going to get up the next day and I'm going to trust Him as God develops perseverance. I need to be more encouraging. Because it's so easy. Have you noticed that somebody gives you negative news? It's so easy to just repeat that or add to it. And God's called us to be encouragers. How can you fix your vision on God's promises rather than your problems? Maybe that's your next step. How can you have a different attitude than those around you? Worship team's going to lead us in a song. We're going to have some prayer warriors over here. If there's something that you're dealing with, we invite you to share with them, have them pray over you. Let's be people of a difference. Let me pray over us. Lord God, we're so thankful in the midst of difficulties, you still had people that said, we believe in you, God. We trust in you. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And Father, I pray that we will be a people of a different spirit, that we will serve you, that the next generation can look back and say there was a group of faithful people. Lord, have your way with each one of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.